Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that these words are your words, not mine. Pray that we open our ears and our hearts to hear what you have to say to each one of us, Lord, and that your Holy Spirit guides me today. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. So today, let's talk about love. We'll focus on our gospel reading to look at Jesus' love and what it means to love one another as Jesus did. And we'll dip very quickly into our reading in Acts to remind ourselves that Jesus' love is for each one of us, no exception. Before we get there, though, let's set the scene. Our gospel reading in John is during the Last Supper, just after Jesus has washed the feet of his disciples and Judas has left to go and betray Jesus, and before Peter will then deny him hours later. Jesus knew what Judas was going to do and did not stop him or stop loving him. Instead, our reading opens with Jesus speaking about his glorification and the glorification of God through him in verses 31 and 32. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. Now here, glory is not the kind exalted by worldly or earthly honor or triumph, but by the ultimate act of humility and sacrifice on the cross. The glory found in self-giving love, the courageous act of laying oneself down for others. And we're invited here to understand that true glory comes not through power or pride, self-pride, but through service, humility, and obedience to God's will. These were not words spoken in ease or comfort, but in the shadow of betrayal and impending sacrifice. Jesus did not say how bad Judas was, or even warn him of the consequences of his actions would be for Judas. But instead, Jesus focuses on his mission and preparing his disciples for what is to come. And that's where we get a profound new commandment from Jesus in verse 34. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Now, this is no ordinary call to love. It is a love modeled after Christ's own example, a love that is sacrificial, enduring, and transformative. It's agape love in Greek. Therefore, as Jesus prepared to depart from his disciples, his desire was to leave them with the very essence of his mission, love. So what is love? Well, in Greek, there are quite a few different words for love. You know, we could have like storge, which is more like the family love, the love of parents to children, siblings, eros, the physical love, philia, the friendship love, and agape, the sacrificial love Jesus shows us. And there are even a couple more. Now, if you're not Greek and we talk to different people, love can also mean different things. For example, you have people like me who probably use the word too much. I love everyone and everything. A nun told me when I was younger that I should be careful of this, because I said once I loved chocolate, and she reminded me I like chocolate and I love Jesus. Or when I said to my husband, I love my boss, he's such a great guy, my husband reminded me that I should perhaps be a bit careful in saying that, as I'm not married to my boss. But then you have people on the other end of the scale who perhaps use the word only once or twice in their lives. But often, love in this way is often seen as a feeling. The Oxford English Dictionary defines love as an intense feeling of deep affection or fondness for a person or thing, or great liking. Now, this definition and this feeling of love, nice though it may be, this is not what Jesus is showing or what he's talking about. It pales in comparison. Jesus' sacrifice was so great, and his love changed our lives forever. Jesus' love was not only a feeling, it was a choice, it was an action. It was a sacrificial commitment, not self-satisfying. Remember, his body would be broken brutally. He would endure horrendous pain as his skin would be torn, his blood shed. He would be beaten to near unconsciousness before his body would then be nailed to a cross. Now just think of a minute for that picture, that horrific torture, and what it meant for Jesus' body to be broken and his blood to be shed for us. And that's not even the worst part. Jesus knew he would then suffer temporary separation from God, his Father, the moment he took upon himself the sins of the whole world. This is the separation he dreaded. The physical agony of his broken body and blood shed would be horrifying, but the spiritual alienation from God would be the worst. And this is the ultimate sacrificial commitment that Jesus would make for each one of us. Jesus chose to do this for you and for me, not because it would make him feel good, on the complete contrary, but because he loves us, and because Jesus' blood would seal a new covenant between God and his people. Thanks to Jesus' love for us, we can now come, all of us, to God through Jesus in full confidence that God will hear us and save us from our sins. This unconditional love is so powerful, so awesome, overwhelming. Now, this is obviously immeasurably more than an intense feeling of deep affection or fondness for a person or a thing. This is the cornerstone of our faith. It is an action, a choice, which is Jesus-focused, not self-focused. And it's through this lens of this sacrificial love that we are called to examine our own lives. Jesus wants us to choose to follow him and have eternal life by submitting to him instead of choosing a life of self-satisfaction and sin that is temporary and will ultimately lead to death. And for us, this is a reminder that true love often demands a willingness to humble ourselves, to serve, like Jesus washing the feet of his disciples, to forgive, like Jesus forgiving us, and to sacrifice for the sake of others, Jesus being crucified for us. So in loving one another, we mirror this divine humility that glorifies God. So therefore, in the commandment in verse 34, to love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another, this is not merely an abstract ideal. It is a call to action that challenges us to embody Christ's love in our daily lives. Now, this is not an easy call to action. In loving Christ, we are to take up our cross and follow Jesus, which means being prepared to ultimately give up our lives too for others. Now, thankfully, we're not in that situation as some currently are. You know, for example, we think in war-torn countries, parents giving up their meals so their children can have enough food, or people giving up space in a shelter to an infirm or elderly person who can't move fast if there's a bomb. Love like that is not easy. Now, closer to home for us, it's easy to give time if you have time, or to give money if you have money, etc. But it's not really easy to do the opposite, is it? To give money if you don't have much, or to give up what you'd like for someone else would like instead. Now, this kind of love is not easy, and we have to work at it, to show it, to give it. But that's sacrificial love on all ends of the scale. And this is what Jesus is talking about here, and what sets us apart from those who don't know or who don't want to follow Christ. Therefore, exercise number one for this week, if you'd like to do it, of course, is to do one act of sacrificial love, i.e. do something for someone else that is not easy for you or that you don't feel like doing. See what happens. Secondly, in loving sacrificially, Jesus says three times in those two verses, love one another, i.e. love everyone. Now, if we go quickly, and I'm sorry we can't do more, I'd love to go through the Acts reading as well, but there's a lot in there. But if we do just look at verse 18, the last verse, it says, when they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. Now, that passage and this verse is important because it confirms that Jesus' love is for all, Jews and Gentiles, no exception. Therefore, when we love one another, our love must be the same for everyone. This sacrificial love is not confined to those who are easy to love or those who reciprocate our affection. It stretches to the unlovable, the estranged, and even to our enemies. Just as Christ's love extends to all, encompassing both friend and betrayer, Jew and Gentile, so too must our love be expansive and inclusive. It means love everybody, no matter who they are or what they have done. Now, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. It's easy to love our friends, isn't it? Well, easier than our enemies anyway. But if we look at this verse, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, that's not easy. And we try to get out of it, maybe. But if it's not clear enough, Jesus makes it super clear a couple of verses later, verses 46 to 47. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? And this is very difficult. I struggle with this every day. I sometimes find it difficult to love my husband, and I've also got to love my enemies. People have been mean, who've been nasty to me, and I've got to pray for them. Okay, I can ignore them, but to pray for them? Come on. So we all know this is hard, and honestly, we'd rather not do it. But that is exactly what Jesus is commanding us to do. And I'd like to share an example with you, hopefully that can be encouraging. About a year ago, last year, I was treated very unfairly by a person at work. And when I prayed about it to God, unfortunately, I didn't hear God saying, poor Sophie, you need sympathy. I heard God say, pray for this person and show them love. Really? Anyway, I really struggled with this because all I could think about were the things they had done and said to me. And I felt very sad. I was so misunderstood and unfairly judged. But the Bible is super clear. I couldn't find a loophole. And I try, I'm a lawyer, yeah? But then I even see it. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 36. It's the same again. Love your enemies. There was no getting around this. And Holy Spirit was not going to let this go. So what did I do? I prayed. And one day I was with another colleague who asked me what I thought about the person I did not like. And I felt uneasy. So I prayed some more. And then I said that I thought they were very good in their role. I actually couldn't believe I said that. But it was true. I did think that, despite how badly they treated me. Then I realized God had shown me something good that I thought about that person. And my heart suddenly warmed to that person. It was really amazing. And the other colleague I talked to them also had a positive view of that person. So instead of sowing a seed of gossip or bitterness, but showing love, my heart has changed over time, and I keep praying for that person. I even helped them recently without feeling bad or resentment. I went out of my way to help them. So therefore, we must pray for people we find difficult. We mustn't fake it, but ask God to show us what he loves about that person and what we like about them too. To look for the good in that person and to pray for genuine love for that person. Now, let's be honest. Although hard, it is still easier than going to the cross, which is what Jesus did. And love then becomes the defining mark of Christian identity. Remember what Jesus said in the last verse, in verse 35. By this everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. It is not our theological precision or our outward rituals that will ultimately testify to our faith, but the depth and breadth of our love for one another. So let's therefore take this commandment seriously. It's a call to action that echoes through centuries, demanding our attention, our choice, our surrender, our willingness to love everyone sacrificially. So what might this look like in our lives today? Perhaps it's forgiving someone who has wronged you, offering a word of encouragement to someone in despair, or simply being present for a friend in need. Exercise number two, if you'd like to, is the harder version of exercise number one. Of course, it's up to you. Try this week to show the sacrificial love in one way to someone you don't like. Pray about it, of course. Listen to what God is guiding you to do. You will hopefully be encouraged by the result. Now, I'll do this too, because my example was from last year. So let us remember and be encouraged that the love we give is not of our own making. We can do this because we can draw from the infinite source of Christ's love for us. And as we love others, we participate in the glorification of God, becoming ourselves vehicles of God's transformative grace in the world. So let's choose to be sacrificial in our love and to love everyone. Amen? So before we move to our time of worship, let's take a time of reflection of all of that as I'll pray a bit for us. Gracious Lord, as we reflect upon your words in John 13, verses 31 to 35, may we be inspired to love as you have loved us. Teach us to glorify your name through acts of kindness, mercy, and humility. Strengthen our hearts to embrace this new commandment that we may shine as your disciples in a world desperately needing and longing for your love. In Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.